Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is June 21st, 2022. Thank you so much, folks, for joining me to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So today, folks, I'm going to provide a situation update, and specifically, I'm going to be talking about a near-death experience analysis, or you might even call it a doomsday event scenario breakdown. And it's very interesting because, I mean, obviously, we've got all of these crazy events that are unfolding, and the narrative is changing pretty much on a daily basis, depending upon what news comes out. But one thing I have noticed is that it's very interesting because as time goes on, the idea of an enemy doomsday device or some sort of doomsday event is really starting to gain some traction within the Patriot community. People are realizing, I think, that all of the soft disclosure that's come out of Hollywood, all the soft disclosure that's come out of really just the entertainment industry as a whole over the past several years, even decades, is completely aligned with the intel that we've been talking about. In fact, I was reminded the other day when I was at a barbecue, I sat down, went inside, got my plate of food. It was a little bit chilly out. Got my food, sat down in front of the TV to have a chat with a friend. And it just so happened that The Amazing Spider-Man, which I think is the latest installment of that series, or actually, no, I don't think it is. This is the one I think that came out in 2012, but it's called The Amazing Spider-Man, was on TV. And for those who haven't seen it, the entire premise really centers around mRNA modification and cross-species genetics. And the villain, who, by the way, is a scientist slash doctor, literally uses reptilian DNA delivered by a syringe to initially cure his deformity, and then quickly has his consciousness overwritten by an evil, cold-blooded lizard obsessed with perfection. He actually even says, I wrote down a quote from the movie, "This is no longer about curing ills, it's about creating perfection." Now, I typically don't watch movies anymore, but I have to say, when I see them now, it's with an entirely new set of eyes. Now, I only got a couple of scenes into the movie, and I realized that I actually had to go back and rewatch this movie because at the time that it came out, like I said, in 2012, I had absolutely no idea what I was watching. But I'll get more into the analysis in just a minute. So what happens in the movie is that he turns into a massive reptilian being that looks just like the descriptions of the Draco. And of course, the entire plot is centered around a corporation that is rapidly pursuing the modification of, you guessed it, the human genome. And what is their narrative? Well, you probably guessed that too. Their narrative is that their goal is to eliminate disease and, of course, enhance the body's ability to heal. But what's interesting is that the scientist ends up being the villain, the doctor. And he says, quote, "human beings are weak." And then he transforms himself, like I said, into a reptilian. And as his DNA is modified, he becomes entirely soulless, lacking any empathy, any compassion, any decency that was inside of him is completely gone once his consciousness is overwritten. And ultimately, the reptilian villain goes on to release a bioweapon to modify everybody's DNA with a doomsday device, and thereby eliminates humanity by forcing, or really attempts to eliminate humanity by forcing a transhuman attack on the city. And as he is detonating the device from the top of what looks like a 5G tower, we can witness other predictive programming. There's a wide-scale panic throughout the city, a full evacuation, a police force that has aligned itself against the hero instead of recognizing the hero. And then it's impossible to ignore that the hero himself, Spider-Man, is genetically modified, so as to suggest that humanity is far too weak to oppose the reptilian agenda without modifications to their genome. And finally, the movie ends with an aerosolized device being released, which in this case counteracts the biotoxin that the villain released so that the cure can spread all over the city. Now again, keep in mind, this movie came out in 2012. And this is only one of hundreds, if not thousands, of movies that have disclosed the nature of the enemy's plan. They've been adhering to the universal law of free will, which requires them to reveal their evil as it's deployed against us, or before it's deployed against us. And whether we recognize it or not, as truth, is ultimately our responsibility. That doesn't fall at the feet of the enemy in terms of whether or not we get it. The only thing they have to do is put it out there. And boy, have they been putting it out there. Now, I can remember seeing this movie in the theater. It was right around the time that I was beginning to awaken. I've told folks before that my awakening journey really began around 2013. Like I said, this movie came out in 2012. And I did see it in the theater, but it was quite an experience to see it 10 years later with my eyes open, being fully awake. Now, back in 2012, I thought it was just a movie. The same way I thought that The Kingsman, you know that movie, the scene inside the church, I don't know if it was the first one or the second one, because I think there were two of those, but there's one scene in that movie inside the church where a frequency is emitted through everybody's smartphone, obviously an evil frequency, that causes everybody to go insane, at which point they start violently attacking everybody in sight. And, you know, just fantasy, just make-believe. I mean, that's what I thought when I saw these movies. And I've gone into a great deal of analysis about how they've used, and when I say they, of course, I mean the cabal, and more specifically, in this case, the CIA and all the three-letter agencies, all the social engineers. I mean, there's so many tentacles, it's hard to really narrow it down. But this is what they do. They cloak truth in science fiction. They reveal all of their plans through movies and TV shows so that people will automatically have the programming that it's not real, that it's fiction. Now, obviously, we've transcended that, but it's absolutely fascinating to go back and to rewatch all of this disclosure now that you're awake. And all the dots are starting to connect. But now, I mean, like you, when I watch these movies, all I can do is see the disclosure at this point, especially in light of all the intel that we've gathered even over the past several months. And indeed, I do believe that while the White Hats are in control and can effectively counter any move that the enemy makes, because their playbook has been exposed, their playbook is known, we the people absolutely need to brace ourselves, I believe, for their final attack, which I also believe is going to be some form of a doomsday device. That's why I'm talking about a Spider-Man movie that came out about 10 years ago. So this war has always been about consciousness. And as we've come to discover, consciousness, which animates the physical body, is eternal. And hence the eternal struggle, really, between good and evil. But the enemy has sought for centuries to overwrite human DNA with nanotechnology. And this has all been in preparation for their final chess move. All the evidence points in this direction. All the cue drops point in this direction. And therefore, I do believe that this experience will take us right to the brink of destruction. A near-death experience, in every sense of the word, before our Heavenly Father shows His hand. Now, you see, initially, I imagine the near-death experience in a very different way than I do now. And of course, I don't have any of the answers, folks. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm giving you my take. Now, obviously, I anticipated that there were going to be massive die-offs from the jab, which, of course, is happening as we speak. Now, obviously, that could be construed as a near-death experience. In fact, it is a death experience for a whole bunch of people, but for society as a whole, that could be interpreted, obviously, or classified as a near-death experience. And, of course, we're also seeing increased false flag attacks. And we can only anticipate that we're going to see more as we get closer and closer to the midterms, as we get closer and closer to Durham coming out with all this new information, unsealing the indictments. We know that this is going to happen. This is just going to ramp up. So that could be construed, obviously, as a near-death experience if we have a whole series of false flag attacks and society just becomes totally chaotic. And in fact, I'm going to talk about that and put a finer point on that because I think that's not far from the truth of where we're headed. But I think there's more detail to add on top of it, more layers to include in the analysis. And then, of course, more recently, we've been talking a lot about food shortages, which could cause mass chaos, obviously. We're already seeing an uptick of crime pretty much everywhere in the country. They're reporting upticks in crime. So, and violence, of course, is always the end result of desperation. So we can see how all these different attack vectors could potentially comprise the near-death experience that we're anticipating. However, I had been thinking about it as one near-death experience, as opposed to perhaps a whole series of near-death experiences culminating in some sort of a final doomsday attack by the enemy. Now, again, it may be that all of these factors combined will come to define the near-death experience. But again, I also believe that the enemy has at the heart of their attack plan a very sophisticated, meticulously planned and coordinated attack on we the people. All over the world, not just here in America. This is global, folks. A coordinated attack on all the people of the world, the Adamic bloodline, to conquer the human genome once and for all. And all of their pre-programming through mass media about the cracking of the human genome to bring about medical breakthroughs. This whole mRNA gene therapy, quote-unquote, as they're calling it. I mean, it's been far too obvious to ignore this, folks. And now it seems that people are increasingly becoming aware that the jab was intended to flood our system with nanotech, cloaked in hydrogel, like I talked about yesterday, that contains really non-terrestrial substances designed to gradually alter our DNA structure, making us more susceptible to a frequency-based attack to hijack our consciousness. Now, I even just saw on the Restored Republic report that the jabbed are easily possessed by demons, which I think is just another way to phrase the hacking of our consciousness. It's a more spiritual way to express more or less the same concept. This likely attack vector is getting an increased amount of attention, and I think it's for very good reason. So while I believe that we are gearing up for a major military event within our own borders, and that the end result of that big event is going to be justice for the cabal, I also anticipate that we are going to be subjected to an attack that has been planned for centuries, millennia. Now, obviously, as previously stated, there are a number of moves that have been anticipated, that have been analyzed. But for me, the possibility of some kind of apocalyptic event is too likely to discount. Even as the path for justice is cleared by military intervention, I don't believe that necessarily means that the enemy doesn't have a final attack plan. So, of course, this raises many questions, and I'm not going to be able to tackle them all today. But chief among them is whether or not the White Hats have put countermeasures in place to ensure the survival of humanity. Now, obviously, we all think that they have. But what would that require? What would a scenario like this look like? And if everyone on Earth has to have a near-death experience and everybody on Earth has to feel universally rescued from utter destruction by the hand of God moment, what would that look like? I mean, think about what we're talking about. Try to wrap your brain around the scope of it, as 107 is constantly urging people to do. Now, I believe that Juan puts out a lot of disinformation for tactical purposes, and I'm not going to get into that. But when you read between the lines, he's telling us that this is far bigger than anybody can really even imagine or wrap their brain out. In fact, he said this is far bigger than most people who are even talking about these issues can begin to realize. So then I have to go back and I have to ask myself the same questions. I mean, could it be food shortages that would lead to riots, wide-scale unrest, perhaps even the near starvation or actual starvation of the population? But we also know that the Alliance has seized control, or at least we've been told, and I believe Gene Decode reported this, that the Alliance has seized control of all the food in the dumps that were intended, of course, for the enemy. And, of course, it's pretty well known that the government, which is not a friend, it could be now, depending upon who's really in control, right? But we also know that the government has massive stockpiles of food and water for emergency purposes anyway. Now, whether or not they would give us access to that, depending upon who's in control, like I just alluded to, well, I guess that's a separate question. But somehow, given the fact that this is a scenario that could be relatively easily countered by the White Hats, I tend to doubt that the cabal's final move is going to be centered around the food supply or even the water supply. when there are innumerable obvious countermeasures that the White Hats could take, and indeed, I believe, have taken, to mitigate the effects of these attack vectors. And then, of course, there's the possibility of an escalation of the military action that we're seeing in Ukraine. And obviously today, there are reports that the Chinese have actually entered Taiwanese airspace. So this thing could be kicking off in Taiwan, literally as we speak, but I have to do more research and get more information before I can conclusively say that that's kicked off. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's moving in that direction. And, of course, there's all the continued saber rattling that's going on all over the world. Wars and rumors of wars, including talk of a land invasion of the United States by China and Russia, who I believe, according to my research, are actually targeting the cartels south of our border right now. So I don't think that conventional military conflict is the final card either. I don't really think that anybody out there would have a difficult time agreeing with me on that. I mean, obviously we're seeing surgical strikes against the cabal to dismantle their power and their power structure. I do believe that that's what's really going on as far as the military action that we're seeing on the surface. And that brings us to yet another possibility that was originally mentioned by Gene Decode on my show last year, and I brought this up several times since. In fact, I have Gene coming on in just a little over a week, so I'm very excited to talk to him about these ideas and any new ideas that he has or new intel that he has. But he talked about the sleeping MKUltra army being activated to carry out an overwhelming level of false flag attacks that would completely unravel society, completely overwhelm law enforcement. I mean, this would be a relentless, and I mean relentless, series of horrors. Now, Gene's intel, very interestingly, I think, coincides with Jetson White's theory, which is derived partially from the intel of 107, which I've documented and I've analyzed on a lot of my recent podcasts. Now, I've already conveyed Jetson's theory of the rapture event, but I haven't yet fully explained what he is suggesting we'll be facing that would make such an event necessary. And that's a really important question. And in his recent videos, he gets into this a little bit. So what could be so horrific and irreversible by any human action that would require God to directly intervene to save his dearest creation? So just to review Gene's intel, he told us that millions of MKUltra sleepers could be activated as a doomsday weapon using a pre-programmed trigger that was somehow embedded in their consciousness that would prompt them to go out and to carry out attacks for which they were covertly and really unknowingly trained. Now, you got to remember that MKUltra sleepers are programmed by inflicting trauma and really torture. And what it does is it creates splits within the individual's personality, or alters, as they're called. Now, this is a complex and obviously very evil process that's been ongoing on a massive scale ever since Operation Paperclip introduced Nazi mind control tactics following the Second World War. But as with all aspects of technology, folks, over the course of time, the methods for engineering a specific outcome have evolved. And in this case, the understanding of consciousness, the development of frequency-based weapons, and the acceleration of computer processing speeds, specifically designed to crack the code of the human genome, as we've discussed, well, that really requires, I think, the expansion of the MKUltra conversation. What if they didn't need MKUltra-specific individuals by way of a time-consuming process to create all of these alters? What if they didn't need that anymore? What if they figured out that programming alternative consciousness, a different consciousness into a person with trauma and with torture, wasn't really necessary? And that they could get an even more devastating result by changing their approach? And what if the jab somehow bypassed or made obsolete the need for individual programming of the sleepers? What if the jabbed became the equivalent of MK sleepers and the only trauma-based technique necessary to prime the pump, so to speak, for all of this violence that they want to create at the societal level was the trauma that they've inflicted upon us collectively? What if all of our collective trauma was the only programming that they needed in preparation for their doomsday attack plan? What if inflicting massive trauma on the population at specific times and at specific date intervals, coupled with the jab and the mRNA technology, gene-altering technology, what if that actually transformed or will have transformed millions, if not billions, of people all across the planet into, in essence, an MK-Ultra sleeping army for their doomsday attack? I mean, we've seen how programmed these people already are by virtue of their blind compliance with the state, with authority. And of course, this docility, this apathy, as I've discussed repeatedly, was engineered over many decades by the cabal, over many generations. This is a system that all of us were born into. So perhaps all they needed to spawn an army of killers, or rather to add to their already existing MKUltra army, was a delivery system. A delivery system that could connect their evil consciousness to the modified DNA avatars that they've created with the jab. Reptilian avatars, I should say. And maybe, once that delivery system was in place, all that would be left to implement their doomsday event would be a trigger of some sort that would effectively transfer the consciousness into the avatars of the jab. Now, when I got into Juan O'Savin's old interview discussing the nature of consciousness, I broke down his explanation of how it exists outside the body, how consciousness exists outside of the body, and that the DNA is the key code of sorts that enables the consciousness to take control of the body. And he explained, just as Dr. Kerry Madej, that the DNA has a third strand that acts as a remote control or an antenna for the consciousness to interact with the DNA. However, in the course of their transhuman avatar rollout, the enemy, having successfully really cracked the code of human DNA, they figured out a way to modify our genetics in such a way that enabled them to hack the antenna, the silvery thread, as Juan calls it, to enable a different consciousness to commandeer the avatar, one that's pre-programmed to destroy everyone and everything in its path. And so if that's true, that either the core of the moon or some other hidden location is storing the consciousness of the enemy, and it has been for millennia in preparation for an attempt at reanimation and escaping God's judgment by living forever, it would stand to reason that they would attempt to transfer that consciousness using the jab and the 5G towers to supply the necessary bandwidth to pull it off. And Jetson White, he describes this sort of doomsday scenario as being akin to a zombie apocalypse, which is something that the mainstream media and Hollywood, they've been conditioning the public to prepare for some sort of zombie apocalypse or doomsday event under the guise of entertainment for decades. Just like the Spider-Man example that I highlighted. Or if you're looking at your screen right now, that's actually an image from the video game Fortnite. And I posted this with a caption on my Telegram earlier saying it looks an awful lot like 5G towers, the moon, and some sort of transfer of consciousness to me. And of course, we've well documented how they implement predictive programming. We've talked about Tavistock. We've talked about all the different attack vectors that they use to get these ideas in our minds so that we can then manifest their agenda. And so for decades now, they've been shaping our consciousness through predictive programming to manifest the apocalypse of their Armageddon timeline. And while I do believe that we are no longer on that timeline, the enemy will still play their hand, either as a pantomime to bring humanity to the brink, or due to an inevitable celestial event, perhaps, which will trigger this doomsday device automatically and irreversibly, regardless of white hat intervention. I mean, in other words, the device may be incapable, if it does exist, it may be incapable of being reversed, which is what necessitated, really, Jetson's theory of the rapture event. Now, regardless of what folks believe about the rapture, it's interesting to consider what possible countermoves the white hats could make if the enemy had this type of weapon set to detonate and it couldn't be dialed back. It was irreversible. So what if the enemy was so entrenched for so long that the phrase "nothing can stop what's coming" actually applies to their doomsday device as well? What would happen if this type of attack were impossible to stop? It seems to me that this would be the type of near-death experience that only God could deliver us from. Now, a lot of folks, like I mentioned before, get really upset. They get really riled up at any mention of ascension support vehicles or non-terrestrial assistance with the rapture, or they question the entire premise based on the Bible. So I wanted to speak to that a little bit tonight, but once again, with the obvious disclaimer that folks are fully entitled to their own beliefs. Remember, folks, I'm not here to persuade you of anything, but rather I'm here to share my journey of trying to get at the truth with all of you. And whether or not you resonate with me or anybody else, well, ultimately, that's on an individual basis. My job here is not to persuade you, but rather to present you, at least as I see it, to present you with interesting ideas to think about and to prepare for. But like I said, it's very interesting to me some of the reactions I get when I present information or intel exploring the potential for different scenarios to unfold, particularly when it comes to discussions surrounding the Bible and end times and Revelation. Now, the other day, I mean, I did a show where I was discussing Juan O'Savin's interview, where he got into the mysteries of consciousness and how the Nephilim were in a technologically advanced race whose primary objective was to escape their consciousness by projecting it into transhuman bodies, using the jab to force changes to occur in human DNA and to ultimately reanimate themselves to escape their final destruction. And of course, I got into Jetson White's analysis on the subject of the rapture. So I present this concept for folks to consider, understanding full well that it won't resonate with everyone, just like any other topic I discuss. But I convey the information, again, in the spirit of discovery and awakening to new possibilities amidst the season of revolution, in which we've come to discover and are continuing to unravel all the lies which have constituted the framework of our matrix, the framework of our existence. Now, my general attitude is to each their own when it comes to any individual's opinion on what I discussed, but I have noticed a strange disconnect in the logic of certain folks that I feel it's necessary to point out. Now, again, I fully recognize that what I say today isn't going to magically change or alter the way other people process information or think about things, but it may provide some interesting food for thought for those of you who aren't really fully committed to dogma, but instead are committed to the discovery of truth regardless of where it leads. And I'll remind folks that I began this journey by letting everybody know that my ultimate allegiance is to the truth, and that this podcast would be an expression of the quest to discover the truth beneath the surface. This is the guiding principle of what I do, and that hasn't changed, and it never will change. I'm not here to appeal to anybody's sensibilities. I'm not here to provide a certain narrative or a certain agenda. I'm not here trying to pose myself, to pose as an insider or anything like that. I'm just here to present folks with ideas to think about. And of course, I'm not here to cater my content to any specific ideology. I've been very clear right from the beginning that I'm a Christian, but that this show was really never intended to be a rallying point for people who share my faith. Instead, I've made it clear that this is a large tent, and anyone who stands against evil is welcome. I don't care if you define your faith in a different way, differently than I do. If you want to see humanity unify against a common enemy, and if you stand in defiance of evil, then you're my brother, you're my sister, and as far as I'm concerned, you're in the right place. However, if you're looking for some sort of an echo chamber, and or are of the mindset that this great awakening is not supposed to challenge your belief system, as we gradually are exposed to more and more suppressed information, then perhaps this message today will prompt you to rethink your general approach to all this disclosure. All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed this breakdown and situation update. Please let me know in the comments. Please do everything you can to support my work. Make sure you hit that like button if you did enjoy today's podcast. Please consider making a donation through Patreon. It's a monthly donation. You can cancel at any time. Also, please consider checking out patriotunderground.shop. It's a great way to support my work. You can pick out a t-shirt, a sticker, a hoodie. I have different mugs on there, coffee chat mugs, all bunch of cool stuff. Thank you so much to all you people out there who have been supporting me. I love you. I really do. You have made all the difference. And folks, remember, patriotswitch.com, the most incredible products that you're going to ever find for your household and personal needs. I'm telling you, I continue to get feedback from the people who have made the switch as a result of hearing about it on my show and saying that they are now customers for life and they will literally never go back to shopping with Big Box again. PatriotSwitch.com. Do the right thing, folks. Make the switch today. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon. Patriot out.